Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're looking closely at just one thing. The April card from the Japanese Hanafuda deck. You know, the one with the wisteria and the bird. It's this tiny, beautiful piece of art. And our mission, really, is to unpack the huge amount of cultural code hidden inside it. More than just a game piece.
Definitely. And right away, this specific card, it presents a kind of puzzle. Because if you think about April imagery in, say, classical Japanese poetry, you're really expecting the nightingale, the ugisu. That's the bird of spring, romance, beauty.
Right, the classic spring symbol.
Exactly. But here on the Hanafuda card, what you find is the cuckoo, the hototogisu.
Yeah.
And well, that changes everything. The whole feeling shifts. It goes from prosperity and love to something much more melancholy.
Okay, let's break that down. The wisteria first, the Fuji, you mentioned longevity. It's not like the cherry blossom, which is beautiful, but gone so fast. Wisteria sticks around.
It really does. It's a vine. It can live for, well, 50 years, maybe more. It represents this enduring, quiet kind of beauty, very resilient.
And that endurance, how does it connect to, like, status? Aristocracy.
Ah, well, that's inseparable from its color. Murasaki. Right. Purple. Purple was the color of power in classical Japan. It was incredibly difficult to produce, very expensive. Came from the roots of the Shikan plant. And by 603 AD, they actually formalized it. That specific purple shade, reserved strictly for the highest court ranks.
Wow. Okay. So wearing purple wasn't just fashion. It was a statement, a real status symbol.
Absolutely. And you see this woven directly into their great literature. Think about the Heian period, the Tale of Genji. Key characters like Murasaki herself or Fujitsubo, their names and stories are deeply linked to wisteria and that specific purple color. It's like an echo of the court's golden age.
So the card carries that echo of elite ancient beauty.
It does. But then right next to this symbol of permanence of the aristocracy,
yeah,
you get the cuckoo. And the cuckoo pulls you in completely the opposite philosophical direction.
Okay, so what does the cuckoo represent here?
Its call traditionally marks the end of spring, the start of summer. But its meaning is heavy. It's often tied to mourning, the spirits of the dead, the idea of human impermanence.
Impermanence. That feels very different from the Heian court's focus on aesthetics and romance.
Very different. It connects more to the worldview of the later samurai era. You know, the Buddhist idea of muju, impermanence. Think of the tale of the hike, full of tragedy and fleeting moments of valor. The cuckoo embodies that. So on the card, you have this dialogue happening. The eternal seeming wisteria versus the cuckoo reminding you of loss.
That contrast is fascinating. And the history of the cards themselves adds another layer, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's deeply ironic, actually. Hanafuda cards were introduced by Portuguese traders mid-16th century. But pretty quickly, by 1633, the government banned them. Why? Gambling. That was their main use.
So they were immediately associated with something illicit, underground.
Exactly. But banning them didn't stop them. It just forced them underground.
Yeah.
And this constant pressure, these repeated bans over centuries, it forced the makers, like Minatoya around 1800, to keep changing the designs.
To avoid detection.
Precisely. And this led to the artistic style we see today. No numbers, no Western-style suits, just these beautiful, intricate pictures. It was basically camouflage. The goal was to make them look like harmless little decorative objects, not gambling tools, to fool the officials.
That's incredible. So this refined, almost aristocratic art style was developed as a survival tactic for an underground gambling game.
Kind of amazing, isn't it? The need to hide drove the artistic refinement.
And where does this hidden artistic tradition eventually lead?
Well, it leads directly to 1889, Kyoto. A man named Fusajiro Yamachi starts a small company making these Hanafuda cards by hand. That company was Nintendo.
Wow. Nintendo started with these camouflaged gambling cards.
Yep. The direct descendant of that tradition. So when you look at the April card now, you see this incredible irony, right? You've got symbols of the highest aristocracy, the wisteria, the imperial purple preserved and made famous. Why? Because popular, often illegal culture needed a good disguise.
It embodies both stability and tradition and also the sense of fleetingness and, well, rebellion almost.
Perfectly put. It's got the permanence of the wisteria and the impermanence, the melancholy of the cuckoo, all wrapped up in this history of hiding in plain sight.
So it really makes you think, doesn't it, how the need to survive, to operate under prohibition, actually drove the artistic evolution of these cards. And that whole complex history eventually paved the way for a global entertainment giant. What other parts of our culture, maybe things we see every day, have histories rooted in that kind of rebellion or camouflage? Something to think about.